Good morning, how are you?
Good.
The first session. These are the serious Christians. Amen?
Amen?
Tell your neighbor you look serious. Hopefully you won't look as serious when we're done. But it is so wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be with friends. Not just friends, but people who really impacted my life. Pastor Allen and his wife, Steve and Dee, Arthur and Kathy. My wife and I moved to South Africa in January of 1994. Remember, there was a little something that happened in April of 94 in South Africa, the elections. But we lived 10 years here in this country, and to us, this is still, for us, the beloved country. And we love this nation, and we love you as the people of this nation. Those of you from Zimbabwe, we love you. Our church is praying for your nation. Our children were raised here. Our daughter was born in Johannesburg. That makes her an African-American. Right? You know? And somebody said, some people are born in Africa, but some people have a choice. And I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could. And it's just an awesome time. And I want to share some things with you today that I pray that will make a difference in your life. And a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about today are struggles and obstacles that I had to overcome in life and in ministry. And, you know, in any area of life, when you're frustrated, it's not a good feeling, right?
Right.
How many of you have ever been frustrated?
Yeah.
You've been lost. It could be in the natural. It could be something spiritual. But you're frustrated. But on the other hand, it's not a bad thing because you know something needs to change. God doesn't want us to live our whole life frustrated. And so what I think He's going to maybe do today is look at some areas, perhaps where we're frustrated, but give us the solutions. And I believe some of the things that are going to happen this week is that where we go for our happiness, for our worth, how we feel about ourselves, maybe some of us have been plugged in to the wrong power. If you've done any, you know, maybe a bit of traveling or you get the wrong power source, it injures what you plug into, right?
Right.
My son, we came back from the States one time and we bought something for him but it was from the States. So he plugged it straight into the 220 and poof, it was gone.
Right.
Plugged into the wrong source. And so we want to find out what's the wrong source, but what's the correct source for our life?
Amen.
Amen. Now, God designed us as human beings to have a sense of worth, a sense of significance, a sense where we go to be happy about ourselves. Where do we go? You know, that's why a lot of people end up being alcoholics, spending their whole life in pubs. Not because necessarily they're evil. They're looking for something to make them happy. They're just looking in the wrong place. And so, how many of you have found Jesus? You found the right place. Amen? But we have to make sure that we are found. Paul said this, that I may be found in Him.
Yeah.
Not in anything that we do or that we think. Now, if we don't find our sense of worth, or in a sense, that deep down in your belly, how do you feel about you? Or in a sense, who are you? Are you a wife? Are you a pastor? Are you from a certain place? But how do you feel about you? And if we don't find it in Jesus, we typically go to two incorrect places. Sometimes we feel good about ourselves based on what we do, based on what we perform. And isn't it funny that that's a lot of times how people want to call themselves? You know, if I were to say, well, who are you? Some people might say, well, I'm Professor Banda. Well, who are you? Well, I'm Pastor Johnson. Oh, well, that's nice, Pastor. And it's okay to have titles, obviously. But there was a time where you weren't a professor, right? And there'll probably be a day where you're not. But you were born a certain way. And that's the real you. And so a lot of times people go and they try to find their identity in what they do. Or they find their identity in what people say about them.
Yeah.
The opinion of other people. All right? And those are really bad places because they're unstable. Because what you do changes.
Yeah.
What people say about you, that changes. You know, there was one week in the ministry of Jesus, he came into Jerusalem, and the crowd was screaming, "Hosanna in the highest." They say that's usually what a pastor hears the first month he pastors. And after a year or so, you begin to hear the same thing that Jesus heard, only in 1 week later, "Crucify him, crucify him." Same people, but their opinion had changed, hadn't it? All right? So, this is a problem. If we use ministry or what we do in serving God, in working with God. Now, how many of you know that's a wonderful thing? Isn't it a privilege that God chose to use us?
Amen.
Do you know angels don't pastor churches? They can't. Angels don't lead worship. God has chosen the only plan He has to impact this world is through you.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, uh-oh. Now, if I was God, I would have a backup plan. But He doesn't. There's no backup plan. So He really is interested in living His life through us, in loving our world through us, and whatever He's called you to do, He really wants it to work. He wants it to hit the target. Amen?
Amen?
But if we go into serving or into ministry, trying to use it to feel good about ourselves, we are abusing ministry. I don't know if you've ever heard Miles Monroe say this, but if you don't know the purpose of something, you will abuse that thing. You will abnormally use it. Abuse.
Yeah.
Now, probably I could go into many of your homes, and if I opened up the cupboard where you keep your forks and your knives, and where you have your sharp knives, you know, where you cut the meat and those things and the vegetables. How many of you have seen, or maybe you have a knife, where the top of the knife is broken off? The very tip.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
That's not from cutting chicken. It's because you tried to use it as a screwdriver.
Yeah.
I've done it.
You're causing trouble here.
How many of you have chipped a tooth because you used it for something that wasn't, you know, you opened a jar. Your teeth weren't designed to open bottles. Amen. So if you don't know the purpose of something, you'll abuse it and it'll get injured. All right. And sometimes in our life, what we do is we use ministry and we plug into serving God and ministry. You know what happens? It hurts us and it hurts the people. All right. Tell your neighbor, let's quit. All right. We're going to unplug and we're going to plug into Jesus this week. Amen.
Amen.
That He alone is our source of happiness. Amen. Because in ministry, there are good days, and there are days that are frustrating. Amen?
Yeah.
If you haven't had frustrating days in ministry, then that means you've only been in ministry for about a week. Right?
Yeah.
You've been frustrated. All right. So, we're going to look at maybe some, in what I discovered in my life, there were symptoms that I discovered that things that bothered me, things that feelings that would come from my heart, I didn't like it. I knew they were wrong, but they were still there. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
It comes out of your heart and you know, this isn't good. But in a sense, you can't stop feeling that way. Do you know why? It's because the Bible says God, He designed us to live out of our hearts. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, Jesus said, will bring forth good things. All right. And it works in reverse. All right. So God wants this week, He wants to work in our hearts.
Yes,
He wants to change our hearts. And then what is going to happen is all of a sudden new things, new emotions are going to start coming out of our heart. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Awesome.
Amen?
Amen?
You see, because loving Jesus and working with Jesus, it's not just what we can try to do, but it's that which comes by the Spirit of God and the grace of God, that which comes naturally out of our heart. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to look at some symptoms that we can see from the Word of God, that perhaps we can see in our own life, maybe we've seen in the lives of other people. But here's the thing. Do you know these sessions are not for your wife? They're for you. You know, you may be in a session this week and you think, oh man, I wish that pastor were here today. Well, guess what? He's not, but you are. Amen? And so, the only person on planet Earth that you have 100% control over that change is you.
Right.
If we could have changed our spouse, we would have by now. And all the ladies said, you've tried and it didn't work, right? But you know what? With the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we can always change us. And I don't know about you, I want to change some more. Amen? All right. Now, the reason why we want to look at some of these symptoms is because when we understand if there's a symptom, we can find the solution for that symptom. Living in Lusaka, we have a lot of people that battle malaria. All right, it's a malaria area in certain seasons of the year. And thankfully, because people are aware of that, when the symptoms come early, they can get medicine. And you don't have to die of malaria. Now, if it goes untreated, you're in big trouble. All right? So we want to be able to get the right solution for symptoms. Because here's the thing. You don't treat malaria with Panado. It doesn't help. It doesn't make a difference. All right. So we want to find the right solution for maybe some of the feelings and the things that sometimes we struggle with in our heart. So I want to look at some symptoms of being an insecure leader. All right. An insecure leader. And friends, I believe in our world today, in 2008, the biggest crisis that we have in the world is not a food crisis. It's not an oil crisis. It is a leadership crisis. We need better leaders. And I believe I'm looking in a room where those you are investing in your life to become a better leader. All right? So let's look at some of these symptoms. Number one, insecure leaders, they take everything personally. Because here's the thing. Your identity is tied up in that ministry. Maybe you're a worship leader. And you just, you love God, but on the other hand, you really kind of like for people to see you. You know, and you're there and you're a good dancer and people are seeing you. But when they don't respond, you think, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Or when they do respond. I don't know if you've ever seen worship leaders, but it seemed like they went to the worship school of the military. And instead of leading people into the presence of God, they drive people. Yeah. All right, now it's time for worship. Lift up your hands. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
You lift up your hands. Yes. Or, you know, I've been in places where, you know, where they want everybody to do all this. Because it makes them feel good.
That's right.
But you see, worship leading is not for you to feel good. It's to lead people into worship. Amen?
Right.
And sometimes people don't like your songs. Sometimes they don't like how you look. They don't like the color of your tie.
Yeah.
They don't like the style. It went too long. It went too short. Right?
Yeah.
And we take it personally because sometimes our identity is in what we do.
Yeah.
All right? Paul said this in Romans 1, verse 1. This is from the Message Bible. He said, I, Paul, I am a devoted slave of Jesus Christ on assignment, authorized as an apostle to proclaim God's words and acts. So Paul said, I've been given an assignment, and at that time of his life, his assignment was apostle, or some people say apostle. Right? Isn't it interesting that a lot of people have that assignment now, right? They've got a church of 30 people, and they're now apostle. If I'm talking about you, just keep looking forward that we won't. Right? Well, thank God for apostles. Amen?
Amen.
All right. But it's just an assignment. All right. And in ministry and in serving the Lord, there are times where our assignments are, they might look big to other people. They might look small to other people. There may be a title attached to them. There might be nothing attached to them. Amen. But you see, who you are is who you are. And if your identity is in Jesus, then God is allowed to change your assignment at any time He wishes.
That's right.
There's a pastor, and actually he spoke at Celebration, I believe, this year. Joseph Prince from Singapore. Wonderful man of God. If you ever see a book or tape by Joseph Prince, get it. All right, wonderful man of God. And I believe the church is about 15,000 people in Singapore. But a number of years ago, he was the associate pastor of that church. And the church was about 200 people. And his senior pastor said to Joseph, he said, you know what? I feel that it would be better if you were the senior pastor and I was the associate pastor. Because I think you're better equipped for this than I am. So they switched roles. And the church went from 200 to 15,000. The person who is the senior pastor, who was the senior pastor, he is still today, 15 years later, one of the associate pastors. Everybody talks about Joseph Prince, Joseph Prince, Joseph Prince. Do you know why? It's because there was a man who was his senior pastor that was not worried about his assignment.
Yeah, come on now.
He said, you know what, I think I'm going to switch my assignment. And the plan of God was for him to go from senior pastor to associate pastor. Wait a second. Is God allowed to do that? Is God... Right? In God's kingdom, yeah. You kind of don't do that in government, right? Right? You don't go from like member of parliament back to policeman, right? Right? It would be a demotion. No, it's not a demotion.
Right.
It's just doing the assignment that God gives you.
Yes.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And there are some times where people give themselves an assignment that God doesn't give them.
Right.
And they live in frustration and there's no grace and there's no power and God's not helping them because He didn't ask them to do that. God will not anoint you to do your thing.
Amen. Amen.
He loves to anoint you to do His thing. In fact, when He gives you the assignment, it's already anointed.
That's right.
There are gifts that will come with that assignment. Amen. So let's not get caught up in what people say or what we think. But let's follow God's plan. Amen?
Amen?
And God is allowed to change our assignment. Number two, insecure leaders have a misplaced idea of success and failure. When it comes to success and failure in ministry, insecure leaders, whenever they're success, they will attribute it to themselves.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe not publicly, but really in their heart, they know it's because they prayed and fasted for a long time. It's because they studied. It's because they consecrated themselves. And really, all failure is because of other people.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's that sister so-and-so, and it's that other pastor down the road, and it's my denominational head that just won't recognize the call of God on my life. So success is really because of me, and failure is other people or the devil. You know,
yeah.
The devil. Just blame everything else on the devil, right? But here's reality. Here's reality. All, everybody tell your neighbor all. Not 90%. All. All ministry success is because of God.
Yeah.
All of it.
That's right.
All of it. Most, not all, but I believe most ministry failure that we encounter, most of it is our fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of it. But here's the thing. If your identity is in Jesus, you can make mistakes.
That's right.
You're allowed to. I'm not talking about, you know, go have 5 counts of adultery this week and embezzle money. But I'm just saying, you try something, you think God told you to do it, and it didn't work. And you go back and you say, God, I don't think that worked. And He said, no, it didn't. Let's go this way. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
All right? That we can follow God. But see, failure or when things don't work in ministry, that's an event. That happened, but you are not a failure.
That's right.
You may have failed. Has anyone failed?
Oh, yeah.
In ministry or in doing something with God, and you tried to do it and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Those of you that preach, you remember when you first started preaching? Aren't you glad they didn't make tapes back then of those tapes? You know, I've heard even people, guys that preach on TV, I've heard they said, you know, I wish I could go back and get those first years and wipe them out. See, we all grow. We all learn. All right? But success, we can, if we're secure, we're going to say, you know what, we really realize it's because of God. And if there is a failure, we can, with God, we can ask a question, God, I need to learn something from this. Show me. Now, maybe I didn't miss it, but if I did, show me. And we don't have to be upset. But sometimes that truth that God gives us, it's not an angel telling us, but it might be another person. It might be one of your elders. It might be a friend that says, you know, I don't think that was a good idea. Well, who are you to come against God's anointed? Right? Because we are insecure. But I believe we're not going to be that anymore. 2 Corinthians 10, we'll go to 17 and 18. This is from the Message Bible. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes the difference. It's what God says about you. And friends, there are assignments that you have that people might not see, people might not recognize. But God sees them.
That's right.
God recognizes them. Do you know, in the country of South Africa, how many small little towns and villages there are? Do you know God wants someone to pastor there?
Yeah, yeah.
It will never be a big church. Never. It's impossible. But it can be big for the village.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And see, God equips us, He anoints us in different ways. And we say, you know what, if it's going great, it's God. If something isn't working, I can listen to people, I can listen to advice, and I realize that I am still secure in who God says I am. Amen? Number three, insecure leaders care greatly about the opinion of others. You see, in ministry, we're the only audience that we have is God's. His opinion is the right opinion. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, a sign of spiritual maturity is when you are dead to both criticism and praise.
Yeah.
Because how many of you know in ministry you're going to get both?
That's right.
Sometimes people criticize you because it's true. Sometimes maybe out of jealousy. Sometimes people praise you because God really moved in their heart. And they say, oh, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes they praise you and they don't mean it.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor, that was wonderful. And you turn around and they put a knife in your back.
Yeah.
All right? And so what that means is that both praise and criticism, you'll get both, and both can give you valuable information. But it just doesn't bother you. Amen?
Amen?
It just doesn't bother you. Because your identity is in Him. Jesus said this in John 5:41. He said, your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Now, we are discovering this week not only how could Jesus say that, but we are going to plug into the same place that He went to so that we can say that. It just doesn't bother me. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth because evidently there were groups within the church of Corinth that said, I like Paul. Yeah, he's my man. I watch his show all the time. And other people, Paul. No. Paulus. Oh, I'll tell you what, he's anointed. He's my apostle. And then so they would kind of fight of who was of Paul and who was of Apollos. And you know, Paul had to be real straight with them. He said, did I baptize you in my name or in the name of Apollos? I think I baptized you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? So here's what he says. He said, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's secrets. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. What about me? Have I been faithful? Well, it matters very little what you or anyone else thinks. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that really isn't what matters. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide. Amen. Amen. The Lord Himself. And so, He sees the things that no one else sees. Amen.
Amen.
And what we find in looking at the entire New Testament, there are many wonderful things that take place in ministry and the people that we get to minister to and some of the results. But the real rewards are handed out up there.
Yeah.
It's on the other side. Amen. And there will be some things that we'll never see this side of eternity. All right? And so that's why we have to realize that God is the one who sees. Amen?
Amen.
Number 4. Insecure leaders are jealous of the success of others. And they constantly compare. Have you ever had feelings of jealousy in ministry? Wait a second. We're in a church. Can we be honest?
No, we're in church.
Somebody else is blessed with a vehicle, a building, a piece of equipment, and they're in ministry. And, you know, the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice.
Yes.
And we all know how to put on a good front on the outside, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so we're like, hallelujah. Oh. Pastor, hallelujah. Ah, that's good. I like it. But on the inside, you're thinking, like the older brother of the prodigal son. Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've been pastoring longer than him. I've been saved longer than him. And I didn't get that. Huh?
Yeah.
Come on, have you felt that way? That isn't that a horrible feeling? It's horrible. But you can't make it go away until God changes your heart.
That's right.
Insecure leaders are always comparing, always looking. Here in your notes, it gives the account of when Jesus said to Peter, He said, you know what? Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I'm giving you an assignment. Here's what we're going to do. And he said, Peter, follow me. He looked him in the eyes. Peter, follow me. And the book of John says, immediately, Peter turned and looked at John. How can you follow Jesus while you're looking at John? And he said, what about him? What about him? You know what, in ministry, there will always be those questions. What about him?
Yeah.
I knew when he was a drunk.
Yeah.
And now he's pestering. He's on TV. He's being invited to conventions. He's going overseas. And I'm still here. Right?
Yeah.
What about him? You know what Jesus said? You know what his response was? He said, it's none of your business. And then he repeated, you follow me. How many of you have discovered that following Jesus is a full-time job? Amen? It takes all of our efforts. Amen? Our heart and our concentration. Amen? And when God uses somebody else, great. Amen? You know what's really sad? Is when we have this jealousy and comparison, is that we actually rejoice when another minister fails.
Yes, Sam.
Maybe you were not recognized by your pastor, the anointing that was on your life and the great oracles of God that you were to give forth to mankind. Maybe your pastor didn't see that. And so you went out, you did something, and now you're a success, and things are moving, and then that pastor has a failure, things go wrong. Yeah, he sees now. Yeah. He knows who's the anointed man of God now. It's horrible. It's sick.
Yeah.
The Bible says we should weep with those that weep. If one member of the body suffers, if one member, all the members suffer.
That's right.
Even if we don't agree with them, even if they were wrong, we should not be happy that they're going through problems. All right, so we don't have to be jealous. We don't have to compare to one another. You've got the notes. You can look through some of these scriptures. Go to number six. Number six. Insecure leaders will not allow others to shine. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him. Now, who was in charge? Saul. Right? He was anointed by God. He was in that position. And anyone who is a leader needs capable people around them. God will always give you an assignment that's too big for you to do by yourself.
That's a fact.
In the Bible, God only works through teams. That's why he works through churches. And whenever you begin to do something with God, you're going to realize, I can't do this by myself. So people are going to work together. So Saul sent him, and David behaved wisely. And Saul set him over all the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And he had come home, and David was turning from the slaughter of the Philistines. Now, everything is going right. Correct? David accepted the delegation. He was accepted in the sight of people. And he was successful in battle. Now, as a king, what more are you looking for? That's the way it's supposed to happen. David comes back, and the women begin to sing, and they came up with this new song. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, let's think about this. If you're the king, that's not a bad song.
Right.
You're the king.
Right.
You're not necessarily supposed to be in the middle of the battle. Right?
Right.
And so, if someone else has accomplished more than you, it's a good thing. How many of you that have children, you want your children, your natural born kids, you want them to go farther than you in life.
Exactly right.
You want them to have more education than you got.
Yes.
And you sacrifice and you spend money. Why? So that they can go farther. How many of you want them to have a bigger house than you had? Right? And so we know that for our children, but isn't it sad in the body of Christ that sometimes when someone begins to rise up, this one is going to be trouble. I had a pastor tell me to my face. He said, and he's a good man, I love him. But he told me, he said, you know, whenever I see a young man in my congregation, when I see the hand of God on his life, and I see him rising up, I make sure I send him out of the church away to Bible school.
Oh my.
Because he could be a threat to my authority.
Oh, no.
This same pastor said, and you've got to be careful. He was giving me advice. He said, you've got to be careful. When you bring in guest ministers, he said, you better be careful that they don't preach better than you.
Oh, no.
Because the people will be impressed with them. I think somebody's a little bit insecure. Because as a pastor, well, how many of you realize right now today, not in the world, but in this city, in Johannesburg, right now, someone is doing whatever you do, they're doing it better than you.
Oh, yeah.
You realize that, right? That's not an imagination. It's a fact. They're doing it better than you. With more success. Do you know that's wonderful?
That's right.
Yeah.
So if someone is preaching better than you, man, let's get them in the pulpit.
That's right.
Let's expose them to our people.
Yeah.
And if people realize that they're better than you, all they're realizing is the truth. Right? Amen. Amen. So Saul was angry. He was angry at the right thing. He was angry at the right thing. Why? Because he was crazy. He was insecure. They've ascribed to David 10,000s. And to me, they've ascribed only 10,000. Now more, what more can he have but the kingdom? Now he begins to look into David's heart at things that aren't even there. We begin to judge the motives of people's heart. Only God gets to do that. We don't.
Yeah.
And so Saul eyed David from that day forward. A couple weeks later, he was throwing spears. And it cost him his life. It cost him the assignment and the mandate that God gave him. It cost him his family.
That's right.
Isn't that sad? Insecurity will cause you to do stupid things. Things that people will look back and say, why did they do that? Because that was what was in the heart. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do.
Yes.
So we're not going to do things lower or less. He said, you're going to do the same things that I do and greater works.
Yeah.
Greater works. My friend Steve Olafier here. Different ones that do crusades. Some of you pastors. Jesus Christ of Nazareth did not preach to bigger crowds than Steve Olafier. That's freaky, eh? Some of you are pastoring bigger churches. You are impacting more leaders than Jesus did.
Wow.
Am I allowed to say that? Is that sacrilegious? Is a lightning bolt going to come down of heaven? Some of you, and you've got media ministries, you're on TV, you're reaching more people in your ministry than when Jesus Christ was on planet Earth. You look at where Jesus was, he didn't even get out of Gauteng province.
That's right.
He was internationally unknown.
Yeah.
Yet Thomas, the guy that used to doubt, he died in India.
Right.
My brother-in-law has been to his grave. Why? Because he did greater works.
Wow.
Amen. There are people in my church with the last name. They're from India. Their last name is Thomas. Because doubting Thomas turned into believing Thomas.
Amen.
Awesome. Amen. Greater works. Jesus lifts us.
Yes, He does.
Amen. In fact, the position that we have, yes, He's the head of the church. Amen. He's also our brother. And the Bible says we are seated with Him. With Him. With Him. And so as secure leaders, we can impact people. We can let them do the works that we're doing, and hopefully, thank God, maybe they'll do something bigger than us. Because the world needs somebody to do something bigger than us. And maybe it will just be the people that we touch. Maybe it'll be the people that we influence.
Yes.
Amen. And if we're secure, we will love it. I believe, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about spiritual fathers and blah, 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 and this and that. Some of it's good, some of it's not good. But I believe the sign of a father is that he gets joy in the success of his son. That's the sign of a spiritual father. Amen? All right. And let's see here. We'll wind this up. Number 9. You can go back and look at some of these notes. Number 9. Insecure leaders are competitive. Who's winning? Who's ahead? Who has a bigger church? There was a time where healing evangelists had tents. And they would advertise the world's largest gospel tent. And then one guy had a tent, and so he picked up the flaps of his tent and made them 2 meters longer. And so they were a half of a meter longer than that guy. And now he said, world's largest gospel tent. Look at this. John 20, verse 4. John is talking about how that he and Peter were running, all right? And it says, so they both ran together. They were going to the tomb. They ran together, and the other disciple, that's him, that's me, the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb. John, the Holy Spirit helped John write this, you know? But John wanted you to know for the rest of eternity, I'm faster than Peter. Does that help? Does that knowledge help you love God anymore? It doesn't. We were running and I won. Huh?
Come on,
a pastor comes to you. Somebody's in the ministry, and I said, "Oh man, it's great. I'm going to be sharing in this conference in Swaziland." And you're thinking, "Well, I've been to Swaziland 4 times. Manzini and Mimabon." And there's just this desire that you have to tell them. Competitiveness. Insecurity. Competitive is nice in the Olympics. It's great. It is horrible in ministry. It is horrible in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You have to run your race. It is not against anyone. You're not running against anyone. Paul said this. He said, I have run the race. My race. I finished the course. Whose course? Paul's course. I didn't do Thomas's course. I never made it to India. I didn't do Benny Hinn's course. I didn't do Ray McCauley's course. I did my course. Amen. Run your race.
Amen.
And you know what that, for some of you, that means you'll never be on TV. Who cares?
Right.
I would love to be a crusade evangelist. I would love it. I would love it. I would love it. I'd have a Tani Madima come and sing. Woo! It'd be so awesome. That's not my assignment. It probably will never be my assignment. I've got to run my race. Run my race. Tell your neighbor, get running.
Get running.
Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, friends, I want you to realize that we're talking about these things because God wants to, He wants to work in our heart. He loves us too much to leave us where we are.
Right.
You've taken too much time. What God has asked you to do is too important. Jesus has already shed His blood. People are waiting. Your health and your life and your family are in the balance. Let's let Him work with our hearts this week. Amen?
Amen.
Put your hand on your heart. Say this with me. Say, Father,
Father,
I open up my heart to You.
Holy Spirit,
thank You that You're my teacher.
You
reveal truth to me.
Jesus, speak to me.
Change my heart.
Where I've been
frustrated.
Move in my heart this week.
And I thank You for freedom. Thank You for life.
Thank You for
effectiveness.
That will begin
right now.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just thank Him. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Oh, we thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. That we will look back on our lives and, Father, we will be able to do and accomplish what You said for us to do, Father, in Your timing, in Your grace, with Your power, Father, and that we will run our race. And Lord, and we will enjoy a long, long, wonderful, fruitful life with You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love You.